You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and as usual, we are joined by Corey Brock, who covers the Padres relentlessly for MLB.com, and never a dull moment. I was kind of laughing thinking about it this morning, that I remember last September saying, oh, man, what are we going to talk about this week? And now it's like there's just too much to talk about in the time frame that we have, Corey. So I want to start with the big trade, that big blockbuster deal that happened just before the season opened where the Padres went and got a closer. So can you just kind of give us an overview on that and what that does for the Padres now and how that might affect them in the future with what they gave up?
Yeah, Allison, isn't that funny? I think our last conversation, you know, we're trying to figure out, hey, are they going to go out and maybe trying to get an upgrade at the backup catcher position, you know, trying to decide that fifth starter spot, even though we thought it was going to be Brandon Morrow and maybe a few of these other little things. Like finding a four-time All-Star closer, that was nowhere to be found on that agenda. But certainly as they're going throughout the latter part of spring training and, you know, looking at their team and looking at it, what was already a pretty good bullpen, let's be honest, and deciding that, hey, we have a real opportunity here to get a tremendous upgrade at the very back end. Craig Kimbrell, who, you know, is probably one of the best in the game, dynamite stuff. We've certainly seen a lot of him in the National League with the Braves. And, you know, in order to do so, you know, the Padres had to take on that Melvin Upton and his contract, and I'm not quite sure how that's all going to play out. They don't have to worry about that now because he's on the disabled list. But, yeah, this really solidifies that back end of the bullpen. I think if we've determined anything about A.J. Preller is, well, one, he never sleeps, and then two, he has a real preference for power right-handed arms. He's added several in this offseason. So the back end of the bullpen looks pretty dynamic at this point, and they feel like this is going to help them. And, you know, I would have to think, at least on paper, which is goofy, you know, going to give them a leg up in this National League West. I still think the Dodgers are the team to beat, but boy, I think the Padres really, really helped themselves out here.
Yeah, that was my next thought is, you know, I've been cautiously optimistic with this team throughout the whole process of when the big bonanza started it over the winter, when they started reshaping the roster and then kind of going into spring training. And I still was just, you know, slightly skeptical because you just don't know how things are going to come together when you have an entirely different roster. But I don't know. When they made that Kimbrell trade now, I said, well, now you really have to talk about them sort of being not just a, you know, maybe they can grab that second wild card, but now maybe winning that division. And, you know, we were just talking to Ken Gernick about the Dodgers. They got all kinds of pitching problems. So nothing's really guaranteed with them. So it is kind of wide open. I'm starting to feel like maybe the Padres and the Dodgers are going to be the final two teams that are going to be there at the very end.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I never discount the Giants, certainly. And, you know, I think we joked about it, Allison, maybe that every other year philosophy, so this has to be their down year here. But I wasn't really impressed with the moves they made in the offseason. But, you know, they can still pitch it. They can still pick it. And I don't know where they're going to score their runs. But, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be wild. I think if there's anything we've seen in this very, very small sampling of games early in the season is some hotly contested, tightly contested games between these rivals. We had a little dust up yesterday between Derek Norris and Pagan of the Giants there with a little gum throwing incident. But so, you know, the emotions are heating up, and just because it's August, you know, April, whatever, 9th as it was, the home opener, you know, these guys are still, you know, got a lot of pride, and they're not willing to bend at all. I think the Padres plan on sticking around in this thing for a while.
Okay, so that's what I was watching the game, and so they were throwing gum at each other. Is that what we were trying to figure out? What was going on? There was seemed to be some jawing there, but between the catcher and Pagan. So that's what it was.
Yeah, it was a situation where, as it was described, that Pagan had I think he had some gum here stuck to his hand. He was trying to get rid of it, and it, you know, got rid of it, and it went underneath Norris, who kicked it back at Pagan, thinking that maybe there was some intent there, and took exception to it, and they kind of jawed back and forth, and it was over before it really started, more or less, you know. And so, but it just kind of, and I don't know, you know, maybe it's just, you know, a lot of machismo going on there or something, but, you know, just guys being guys, and heat of the moment there, and I think, you know, cooler heads kind of prevailed there. But I know Derek Norris wasn't very happy about it, and Pagan, for his part, you know, said, "Hey, I no ill intent here. I'm just trying to get the substance off my hand here, off my batting gloves." So that's probably over with, I would think. So or it's not, as you know, Allison. Baseball never forgets and never forgets, right?
Okay, so that makes the fact that the umpire warned both benches even a little bit more absurd.
It seemed really, really hasty. You know, it wasn't like there was guys were lining up on the top step of the dugout, you know, ready to go. You know, this was just kind of and the guys didn't have to be separated. It was just kind of a real, real minor, you know, verbal, you know, just some jawing, basically, back and forth. And then, like I said, it was over pretty quickly, but the home plate umpire decided it was appropriate to warn both benches, but we didn't have any further incident there.
Yeah, there was a lot of very intense moments. I mean, of course, you have a scoreless game until the 12th inning. I mean, it was a great game, but I don't think I've seen that kind of intensity when Pagan slid into third and he just got up and was pounding his chest, and then when Kimbrell got out of that inning and he was, you know, I'm not sure that I've seen that on opening day necessarily before. So it is kind of nice to see the emotions a little bit elevated with this team, with everybody. Really.
Well, yeah, and I think the fans really fed off that. You know, just kind of really enjoyed seeing. Well, first of all, Kimbrell get out of that potentially messy situation there with a runner on third and no outs, and then to show some fire and some emotion there for a guy that hasn't even been with the team for a week. I think. He probably gained a few more fans yesterday, not that he didn't have any to begin with.
Well, and moving on to something like much more important, I couldn't help but notice that the giveaway were Padres with fedoras. We kept showing the crowd shots, and everyone was wearing these fedora hats. Was there some significance to that? Do you have any idea? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, I think they may have done something similar last year or in the past and got some good feedback off of you know, a similar type of fedora type hat they gave away, and maybe felt like it was a good idea to revisit that. This one looked a lot different than the one I'd seen before. It looked pretty sharp, but it was kind of funny. You know, I don't know about you, Allison. I kind of picture my grandfather from when I was a kid wearing something similar, you know, and it seems like an old man's hat, but I don't know. It was kind of a cool look, and I think some people could pull it off a lot better than the first.
Yeah, everybody looked really cute. They had old people, young people, women, men. I was watching the game with my dad. I'm like, well, maybe it's a nod to, like, Gerry Coleman. I couldn't remember if Gerry Coleman was a fedora-wearing person, but I guess it's just kind of a general thing that they were just doing because it was popular, which is nice, too. But, yeah, I thought it was really cool. I mean, I'd probably wear that in public if I was a fedora type.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat to see these teams be a little bit more inventive and think out of the box in terms of some of these promotions. I mean, let's face it, there were going to be a crowd yesterday anyway because it was a home opener. But, just a pretty neat little giveaway. And it's always fun. I don't know about you, Allison. I'm kind of not a promotion junkie per se, but I love seeing what some of these teams come up with, just some completely off-the-wall ideas. You know, I mean, bobbleheads are neat, and people are always going to line up to get those because they have a real collector value. But and there's some pretty weird stuff out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, and it forces the teams to get creative, and everyone kind of tries to outdo each other, and that's great for the fans because they get the loot.
No one loses here. Yeah, there's a lot of industry buzz that kind of focuses on the team, and then of course the fans end up getting a pretty cool little keepsake out of it. So yeah, it's a pretty good deal for everyone.
So let's end this with talking about the franchise four. I've been discussing this with all of the NL West reporters. So MLB has a new initiative where fans are invited to vote for the four most impactful players in the organization's history. They'll be revealed and introduced at the All-Star game. And so it's really interesting. It's all over the map as far as, you know, sometimes some of the teams, it's pretty obvious who the four are. Of course, when you have a team that's been around for 100 years, it gets very kind of dicey as far as narrowing it down from 8 to 4. So let's go over the Padres list. We've got Nate Colbert, Steve Garvey, Adrian Gonzalez, Tony Gwynn, Trevor Hoffman, Randy Jones, Jake Peavy, and Dave Winfield. I think this is actually probably pretty cut and dry. But what do you have any initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think you're right, Allison. And, of course, we have to remember, you know, this is an organization with a you know, a real deep history, you know, like the Cardinals right. or something going back to 1900. You know, the franchise was founded in 1969. But yeah, but I think the obvious ones, Tony Gwynn, Trevor Hoffman, Randy Jones being the first Cy Young winner. Jake Peavy won a Cy Young, but, you know, I maybe for that last spot, it's, you know, with Dave Winfield certainly having a big history with the Padre, being a original Padre before he moved on to some bigger and better things. But so, yeah, I would at least go with those first three with the Gwynn, Jones, and Hoffman.
So where does Darby fit into that? He's more a Dodger than a Padre.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he fits in that four. I mean, yeah, you could argue he's a Dodger four, but although you talk about a deep history of guys, my goodness. What did Gurnick come up with that Dodger list?
Yeah, the Dodger list, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he is on the Dodger list. But, yeah, you've got Campanella, Drysdale, Garvey, Kershaw, Koufax, Robinson, Snyder, and Valenzuela. That's almost unfair.
Yeah, that should be like franchise 40. Maybe they're 14. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that everyone's going to be arguing about it and talking about it, and that's really good for our game. So I'll look forward to seeing the way the votes go on that. So, Corey, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.